Any other announcements? Anything else? All right. 4:13, the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness, somebody say boldness. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Father, add a blessing to the reading and hearing the exposition of your most holy word. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name. Saints, we've been covering the book of Acts. We're in chapter 3. And if you remember, the book of Acts in chapter 3 opens up with Peter and John going to the temple to pray. As they're on their way to the temple, they see a man at the beautiful gate, and he's paralyzed, he's lame. He's never walked before a day in his life. He's asking for a donation. Peter and John say, silver and gold have we none, but what we have we give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The man is instantly healed, amen, delivered from his affliction. And the crowd sees it, and they begin to congregate around Peter and John. And Peter sees it as a preaching opportunity because he doesn't want to get anybody confused that it was his power or their holiness that did the miracle. So Peter begins to talk about Jesus. Amen. He gives them the gospel. 5,000 people get saved in that one sermon. Amen. They arrest Peter and John. The leaders of Israel come. They put them in. They take them in custody, and they put them in jail. After they get arrested, amen, hallelujah, they bring them into court the next morning, and they stand before what we call the Sanhedrin, which is the Supreme Court or the Senate of Israel. As they stand before the Sanhedrin, the Bible tells us, amen, that the Sanhedrin asks Peter and John two questions: by what power and by what name? And Peter begins to tell them about the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you missed that sermon, you can check them out, amen, online or get a CD. And then after that, he tells them by what name. And we talked about that wonderful, beautiful name of Jesus. The power behind the name, the meaning of the name, the right to use that name. And we also talked about how there's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that's what Peter was talking about to the Sanhedrin, to their face. And we pick up in verse 13, amen, and the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John was telling them like it was. You got to understand, this is the same Sanhedrin that crucified Jesus. Peter's standing up there and he can lose his life, but he still was bold. He still told them like it was. The Sanhedrin, this is the same Sanhedrin, they knew Peter. They knew the last time somebody asked him about the Lord, he denied his Lord three times and ran out. You see? So they saw a different Peter right here. The Bible said when they saw the boldness of Peter and of John. And so as we focus in today, the title of our message is going to be just that, boldness. Boldness. That's what we're going to teach on, boldness. And we had 2 points, but I think we're going to cover one, and we're going to get out of here. First point is the boldness of Peter and John, and the second point is unlearned and ignorant men. And I guess next Sunday we're going to talk about that because there's a whole lot in that point right there. The Lord can take anybody and put to shame senators and judges and leaders. It's not about what you have up here or what schooling you have. I won't get into it. I got to save me something to preach next week. But it's about who got control of your life. You see what I'm saying? But let's begin with our first point. The first point is the boldness of Peter and John. That word boldness in the Greek has a few different meanings, and I'm going to read some of the meanings that it has. The word boldness, amen, let's go back to one slide before. The word boldness means this, to be outspoken. It means to be frankness. It means to be bluntness. It means to be plain. I'm going to tell you like it is. I'm not trying to hide nothing. I'm not trying to use symbolism, signals, nothing like that. It is what it is. It means openness. I'm going to tell you what's on my heart. It means confidence. I'm going to be who I am. It means courage. I'm not going to shrink back. It means to be fearless, to be brave, to be free. That's what this boldness is. And in the day and age in which we live in, the same boldness that Peter them operated in, that's what every single Christian going to have to operate in the day we live in. We're going to have to be outspoken and frank and blunt and plain and open and have confidence, courage, and be fearless and be free. A lot of people think that Christianity is for punks and for weaklings. Christianity is for the real. Christianity is for the bold and for the brave. There ain't no weakness in Christianity, no. And I'm going to show you that here in a second. No. It's easy to do what everybody else doing. It take a man or a woman to do something different. You understand what I'm saying? It take that. That's real. That's real. And to do it in a real way. You know what I'm saying? Not to be faking in front and living it, you know. No, to be real about it. All right? So as we put it all together, all the different words of the Greek and stuff like that, I have a definition for you. And so we'll look at that definition. Listen, boldness is a courage and confidence that causes us to speak and to act openly without reservation on the behalf of Christ. And it's important on the behalf of Christ. Because we done been bold before. But we were bold about the wrong things. We was bold about sin and bold about the world. And it's funny to me that the people who was most bold in their sin come to church and be the most timid. When in fact, it should have been the opposite. We should have been timid in doing wrong and bold in doing right. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. We're going to talk about it. Y'all all right talking about it? Somebody say boldness. All right? Boldness is the opposite of shame. You see, when you shame about somebody or you shame about something, is you hide, you coward. You see? Boldness is the opposite of that. It's the opposite of being quiet when we know we should be saying something. It's the opposite of keeping our faith to ourselves when we know that our communities, our neighborhoods, and our people dying and going to hell in a handbasket. As we watch all the single parent stuff, as we watch all the abortion, as we watch all of the crime and the violence and the shooting and the killing, and for us to just be quiet while our people, amen, they being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. When we have that knowledge that they need, and for us to be quiet, you see, that's not boldness. That's a coward. Peter and John wasn't like that. Peter and John say, nah. Somebody say, nah. It's not going down like that. Not my people. Not my people. The Bible tells us, I believe, therefore I have spoken. When you really believe in something, it's going to come out your mouth. And us, we love the saints. And so when we go to the barbershop or anything, all we want to talk about is the saints. Why? Because you believe in the saints. What happened to God? What happened to Jesus? What happened to the way of salvation? You see, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth gonna speak. Whatever's filling your heart up, that's what you're gonna talk about. All I'm here this morning to try to ask you is, hey, God, hey, if you're real and you love God, and he is what fills your heart, then open your mouth and be bold and talk about him. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. 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 Now listen, being bold is not being rude, no, y'all. It's not being rude. It's not about talking about him at the wrong time. It's not about witnessing in the flesh, no. You ever met somebody that witnessed in the flesh? They open their mouth and they want to talk about God and witness at the time when people are going to reject him the most. Mike, it's like baseball, man. You don't swing at the ball at any time. You wait on the ball. And as you wait on the ball, you're waiting for the ball to get in that sweet spot. When it's going to be in that place where you can execute and move all of your power, turning your, you're putting your leg and moving your hips, and everything is going right, and that ball is right where you need it to be. Head down and you just turn on it. Pow! Oh, Mike, excited. Listen, that's how they're sharing the gospel. You're waiting for that sweet spot. The Bible say a word spoken in due season, how sweet it is. It's like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And that's what you wait for. You see, he that winneth souls is wise. Wise because he wins souls, but wise in the way he wins souls. Anybody hear me up in here? It's like hunting. You just don't go in there shooting your gun at everything, Brother Sam. No, you wait. And even after you see the game coming through, you still wait. Because you're waiting for that time when they're in the clear, where you can get that clear. Oh, he's in the woods right now. Where you can get that clear shot. Where you see him in them sights, and that's when you take your shot. Witnessing is like that. You don't just do it any kind of way. That's witnessing in the flesh. That's opening your mouth when it's not time. That's not the boldness that I'm talking about. It's not being rude. It's not being loud. It's not being brash. It's not being abrasive. It's waiting for your shot and then being bold enough when that shot opens up to run through it. It's like a running back. And he's getting that football. And that line open up. And it's time to hit it. That running back got to be bold enough to grab that ball and plant that foot and go straight up. You see what I'm saying? It's a boldness, Randy. It's a boldness. When it's my time, I'm going to do what I got to do. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. You see, so Christians, we err on either one side. We come out too Rambo, Conan, Ultimate Warrior. We come out too much. Or when our opportunity presents itself, we say nothing at all. What I want from you, Philly, is that balance. That balance where when the time comes, when the opportunity presents itself, when the door is open. You ever heard of an open door of opportunity? God going to open the door for you. And you say, nah, he ready. Nah, she ready. I'm going to put Jesus on him. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right? But that's just to speak. Now, let me talk about something else. You also need boldness to be you in Christ. Now, when I'm talking about Jesus, that means that I got to wait for an opportunity to witness. But when it's about being me in Christ, I could be me anytime. Anybody hear that? The Bible says, so let your light shine before men. You're going to need boldness not only to speak for Christ at the right time, but you'll need boldness to live for him all the time. Just letting your light shine. You see, Sergio and Anna, we get in situations where the pressure of the world can try to stifle our light and make us not want to be authentically us in Christ. Where, hey God, we begin to dim our light, you know? You got to be bold and be who you are in Christ and be real. You see, some of us get in front of certain people and we start acting different in front of certain people. That's not bold. That's a coward. You see, me, it don't matter where I'm at. I'm going to be me, dog. I'm going to be me in Christ. And so if I'm in the barbershop and it's filled, we in the hood, amen, I'm going to be me, but I'm going to be me in Christ. You know, how was your day, man? It was good. You know, any struggles? Nah, man, I prayed. I read my word. What you did today? I went to church. What I'm saying is I'm going to say what I do and who I am. And I'm not going to hide that from nobody. You know what I'm saying? All right, all right, all right. Let me explain that a little more, Mike. I'm getting excited. Let me explain that a little bit more. All right, all right. Now, in America, y'all, here's the deal. In America, it's not like other countries. Other countries, it takes a high level of boldness. Because in China and some of the Muslim nations, they'll kill you for being a Christian. So for them, it take a boldness that's like, look, my life is on the line, but I still love him and I'm not going to be ashamed. That's what Peter and John was going through. They could have died, Miss Michelle, because of this right here. But them boys said, nah, there's no salvation in any other name. in America is different. What you mean, Pastor? Well, they ain't killing us yet. Yet. But we still got to be bold in America, yeah. What you mean, Pastor? Well, one commentator said like this. The sword doesn't kill us. Fire doesn't burn us. But the world in America, like a river with vast volumes of water, tries to push us to keep us from living out Christ, Brother Elmo. The world tries to keep us from living out loud and being the Christians we're supposed to be. You see? And even the strong sometimes, the strong swimmers in the spirit, can be swept away. We need boldness, friends, to stand up against the current of the world in America. I need you to see a river. See a river with me. And everybody else in America going downstream. They going with the river. When we get saved, Miss Michelle, God calls us, amen, to turn around and to face the river. Our friends and everybody else just walking down river. We listening to whatever music the world listens to, watching whatever TV, we doing whatever they doing. And God say, Michelle, and we turn around. And that's what happened to my little wife at Bayou Classic. Walking down Bourbon Street with everybody else. And God say, you don't belong here. He pull her out the crowd. And that's what God does to every single one of us. It's not, listen, it's not that we wasn't doing what they was doing. No. And it's not that we still wouldn't be doing what they was doing. But he called us. And he said, Omar, and I turn around. Now all my friends and everybody are still going the wrong way. Now you got to understand now. That wrong way leads to destruction. You see, down that river is a waterfall. It's Niagara Falls. It's rocks and cliffs and everything like that. There's a broad road that leads to destruction. But there's a narrow way that leads to life. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? So when he calls us, we turn upstream. All right? But it's not easy. You ever tried to walk or swim upstream? It's not easy. And the pressure and the people. And everybody saying, why are you doing this? And why are you struggling like this? Why don't you just turn around? Take the easy way. But we say, no. And we walk up that river, Brother Tyrone. We walk in that river hitting us in our chest. And we say, nah, we living for Jesus. And we won't go back. We moving upstream. We going against the grain. And that's why I say Christianity not for weaklings. You know how easy it would be for me to just turn around and do what the world do? For me to open up my law office again and be into all of the material things and to be into all the things that the world, that'd be easy because everybody else doing it. But for me to put all that down and say, God, what do you want me to do? And God, my people dying, but somebody got to go get them, God. God, we got to have this campaign and we got to buy these cars for people. God, I know it's not easy. I know it's not what everybody else doing, but I'm going to go up river for you. I'm going to go up the gutter for you, God. Oh, somebody got to hear me up in here. You see why it takes boldness? You got to be courageous. You got to be courageous. You a man if you a Christian, man. I'm not talking about the fake ones, no. I'm talking about the real ones. Because they got some with the name Christian, but they walking downstream like everybody else. But then you got some when you meet them, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you know. You know, they march into the beat of a different drummer. Come on, give God some glory, amen. You know them. You know them when you see them. You see what I'm saying? Listen, let me give you three things, all right? Three things before we go about how we got to live bold in the areas we have to live bold in, all right? I'm going to kind of break them down and go into them a little bit more in depth right here. All right, number one, or A, is the way we live. I love what 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4 says. He says this, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Stop right there. And I know it's difficult in the King James to understand, but I'm going to break it down. Peter says, for the time past of our life. Peter said, in the past, we used to live a certain way. We used to be in the club. We used to be in the street. We used to fight. We used to sell drugs. We used to do drugs. We used to drink. Peter said that was our past. He said that's our past. You know? He said, for the time past of our life may suffice. Pastor, what's suffice? Suffice means that you did that long enough. You lived that way in the past and you done did enough, man. You done been to enough clubs. You done been with enough men. You done been with enough women. You done been on the drug far too long. For the time past of your life may suffice. It's enough, dog. It's enough. It's enough. You've done it enough and it ain't did no good for you. What has it done for you? What has it done? It hasn't done anything. I remember one of my good friends. He used to hustle, man. He'd been hustling since he was 13 because his mama was on drugs. She was in the crack houses. And he had to eat and he had to live and he had to provide. Hey, man, and I understand all that. That's the life in the hood. So he had been selling drugs since 13 years old. You know? I get saved, all right? And I'm looking at him. I'm like, man, I'm about to use his name. I say, man, listen. You can't keep doing this, man. We can't keep living like it's not going to work. And God brought it to me. I said, my brother, how long you been doing this? And he was like, man, oh, you know, 30, 35 years. I said, now show me what you got for it. Show me what you got for it. You see, because I can go next door to Mr. Such and Such. He's been on his job 35 years. He got a 401k. He got retirement. He got medical. He got a house that he buying. Hey, God. Yo, no, listen. He make less than you an hour. And you get a little fast money. But let's look at it on the long term. Show me what good this life has been for you. Show me. Show me. You ain't living better than. You get a little car, but every time they bust you, they take everything else away. They run up in your house, they jacking, they stealing, they putting the gun to your loved one's head. What I'm saying is this. We live in sin, and it don't pay us nothing. We give our whole life to it. We give our heart to it. We put all our energy into it, and it give us absolutely nothing in return. For the only thing that sin can pay us is this. For the wages of sin is death. That's all it can pay us. So Peter said, man, listen, you didn't live like that enough. He says, listen, when you used to walk in lasciviousness, what's that, Pastor? That's immorality, sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, homosexuality. Whatever you want to put in that as sexual wickedness, that's lasciviousness. And lust. Going after this one and going after that one, looking at this on the internet, looking at that. Yeah, he said, Peter said, that's how y'all used to live. Excess of wine. Y'all know what that is. Somebody say takala. Yeah, you was getting drunk. You was getting high. You was getting bent, wasted. He said, you done did that enough, dog. Revelings. That's wild parties. I want you to pitch your club strawberries on a Saturday night. Can't even see the floor. It's so packed up in there. But you leave out of there, you don't get nothing from that. You're still empty when you leave. He said, look, banquetings. What's that, Pastor? That's big parties with a lot of food. The Greek right here say festival. And in Louisiana, we got a festival for everything. We got a crawfish festival, turtle festival, watermelon festival. We got a frog festival. Who have a frog festival? He said, y'all done did that long enough, man. You done did that long enough. Look at that. And abominable idolatries. That's bowing down to things that's not God. He said, you done did that long enough, and where has it gotten you? What good has it done for you? So he said, look what he said in the next verse, 4:4. He said, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them in the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Peter said, when you get an epiphany, a revelation, like I got and so many others in here, where you say, that's not really doing good for my life and my marriage and my family and my finances. I done tried everything else. I'm going to try Jesus. You with me so far? You admit you're a sinner. You believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died on the cross. You ask him, Lord, save me, a sinner. He changed your life around. You're born again. You don't want to be the place you used to be. You don't want to do the things you used to do. You don't want to go and, hallelujah, and hang with them friends that's not no good for you. Amen. And so they call you up and they say, man, come on, let's do the lasciviousness, the lust. Let's go out there and get to these festivals. Let's go out there and drink some drink. And let's go out there and smoke this, smoke that. And you say, nah, dog, I ain't doing that no more. Boldness. Boldness. Nah. Look what Peter said. Peter said, when you tell them that, they will think it strange. You all right, man? What's wrong with you? You want me to call somebody? No, don't call nobody. I'm not going. They think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, riotous living. Living with no laws. And after they think it's strange and they still can't convince you to go with them, they even going to speak evil of you. Talk bad about you. Call you Mr. Church. Say you're in the church. Call you like they call my wife, the preacher's wife. That's why I say it take boldness. You got to come to a place in your life where you say, I don't care what they say about me. They could talk about me all they want because they're not doing nothing for me anyway. It's God the one that's keeping me alive. It's God the one that's providing for me. And listen, why would I ever go and do something for some little people that's not doing anything for me? My faith is in God, man. You see? He said they're going to speak evil of you. So it requires boldness to live against that pressure. So when you're with your boys, they're going to tempt you, especially our young men and young ladies. They're going to tempt you to fornicate, to be with a man or be with a woman, and you're not married with them. And you got to be bold enough to say, no, I made my commitment to God. I've taken a vow of purity, of abstinence. And you got to be bold enough to say, I'm not being with this person. And young people, they might con you at school. Oh, he a virgin. Oh, you know, like virgin is a bad word. You know what I'm saying? And that's how we do it. We hiding to do right. Hiding to say, I don't want to be with a woman. Hiding to do that. When the ones that's being with too many people, harlots are living out loud. It take boldness. It take boldness, amen, when you're at work to say no to adulterous, hallelujah, invitations. You look at that woman at that job and you say, woman, I'm married. And it take boldness to say that. Take boldness to look at that man, amen, in the cubicle next door, trying to talk to you and speak perversion. It take boldness to look him in his eyes and say, listen, I got a husband and I'm going to honor the commitment I made unto God. It take boldness, man. It take boldness in the day that we living in. It takes boldness, amen, hallelujah, to say that, listen, I'm not down with homosexuality. You know how they come down on people to say that these days? Man, you get fired, lose your job. That's what I'm saying. It takes boldness to live right. But not only to live right, no, and to do right, you know. But let me bring you some more. We're living in a world, saints, where it takes boldness just to say you believe in God. The atheists and the evolution people. It takes boldness, saints, to pray. You ever been about to eat and everybody just start eating, but you Christian know that you should give thanks to the Most High, from whom all blessings flow? And you go to pray and it seemed like the whole restaurant get quiet. Everybody looking, look. He praying. Yeah, he praying. You got to be bold about it. You got to be bold to read your Bible. Brother Elmo, you ever pull out your Bible in public? Them people act like when you pull out a Bible, like you just pull out a terrorist manuscript from ISIS. Hell, Bible. What? It take a bold person to be sitting there on their break at lunch and say, man, let me give me a little word from the Lord. Take boldness to pray. Take boldness to read your Bible. Let me tell you something else. It takes boldness to come to church. Take boldness these days to come to church. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Some of y'all right now, people talking about y'all for being here. They talking about y'all right now. You know, they talk about y'all every Sunday, but this Sunday for sure. It done rain, flood, it's like Noah outside, and you still going, what? You got a problem. And listen, Sergio, listen, they talking about me for having church. Now they sending me email, all the churches closed. I don't care what all other churches doing. I don't care about that. I don't care about that. What they got to do with me? They got nothing to do with me. They located in the middle of Chaffalaya. It's dry on the north side. How in the world I'm not going to have church when it's dry? I can drive from my house to here and not even hit a puddle. And so I'm supposed to cancel church because everybody else? Nah. You see, but it takes boldness to do what the Lord telling you and not worry about what everybody else saying. That take boldness. That take boldness. And like y'all being here, listen, they talking about y'all, yeah. Them people crazy. They in a cult. They come to church even when it's raining. Yeah. Yeah. You know why we here? We not here because anybody forced us to be here. Ain't nobody forced me to be here. George, ain't nobody forced you to be here. Ain't nobody forced y'all to be here. Miss Carolyn, ain't nobody forced you to be here. We here because we want to be here. We can't imagine being no place else on a Sunday. Listen, what I'm going to do on a Sunday? What I'm going to do? Now, if the place all flooded and everything like that, you know, I can understand not coming in, but get on your computer because I'm going to still live stream from home. But I'm just saying. But what are we going to do? It's dry up in here. Parking lot dry. It's not even really raining too much. Man, we going to have church, man. We're going to have church, man. Because I want to be here, man. What's that song? I want to be where you are. I got to be where you are. You know? Yeah, they're going to talk about y'all. But listen, none of these people that talk about you can do anything for you. They can't get you into heaven. They can't get you into hell. They can't do nothing for you. So let the haters talk. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right, I'm about to get off into some deeper stuff. We're going to, listen, here's the second place you're going to need boldness. The structure of your home. The structure of your home. All right? You got to go against the current these days to be a Christian in your home. It starts off at the very basic. When you decide that you're going to get married, you're going against the grain. Because the world today is not pro-marriage, it's anti-marriage. And when you say you're going to get married, you're going to hear everything negative. Oh, you're too young for that. And you're telling people, man, I'm 66, how I'm too young for being married? You know what I'm saying? You know, oh, you don't know her well enough. We got 5 kids and 2 stepkids. How in the world I don't know her good enough? Y'all just wait a little while. We've been shacking up for 26 years. I don't know her. Oh, but just wait. You know, that's what they're telling them youngsters. On first, it was wait till you finish school. And school was high school. Then that was good after that. Because legally, you know you can do it. Hallelujah, at the age of majority, 17, 18, you can do it. Now they done put another one on it. Wait till college. All right? Then they done put another one. Wait till you get your master's or your law degree. You know what I'm saying? Now, homeboy in his 30s now. Now, I want you to imagine from the devil's perspective how wise that is. You know when a young man and a young woman start to feel those things. You know, now, look, the young man don't want to look at me now. Pastor, don't tell him. No. But you start feeling them things. Now, before, like with Mary and Joseph, they was getting married in the teens. But the devil said, wait. Now, you got all this lust going on in you. He telling you to wait. Wait till you're 30. Now, what's the chances you fighting this struggle with lust and women and they dressing in their kind of way? What's the chances of you, anybody listening to me, remaining abstinent and staying holy for God until you finish high school, college, get your master's. Then they say, why don't you go ahead and buy your house first? Get your car, pay out your school debt. They're tacking on all kind of stuff on that. You know what I'm saying? Pick your coffin, get your policy with Sarah. You know what I'm saying? Then get married. Now I'm on license plate. Will you take? That's the world. So when we get married, we actually going against the grain. We're going against the grain. We turn and we say, nah, it's better to marry than to burn. To be full of lust and to want to fornicate or commit adultery, we go against the grain and we say, God, we're going to please you. You see? So when you structure your home, you're going against the grain. But not only just to be married, all right? Y'all still like that? You go against the grain when you take your marriage and you structure it like God wanted to be structured. When the husband is the head of the household. When the husband is the head of the household, you're going against the grain. All right? You're going against the grain. When you do it like the way God said do it, you're going against the grain. And so we got some women, amen, how do they head a household? They wear the pants, the shoes, the belt, everything else. All right? But as a Christian, when you do it God's way, you say, nah, my husband make the final decision. We both leaders in the home. I got an opinion. I got advice and everything. But when it come down to it, he going to make that final decision. All right? That's going against the grain, man. And so all kind of people going to call, Miss Michelle, listen, I need $200. And you say, well, I'm going to talk to Miss Craig, and we're going to kind of come on one accord and do it. Oh, girl, you ain't got to talk to Mr. Craig. Just go ahead and give me that money. I'm going to give it right back to you. He ain't going to even know it's gone. Anybody hear me up in here? You at the car shop. Listen, woman of God, oh, I know you like this car. Go ahead and buy it. Wait, I got to talk to my husband. Girl, listen, you ain't going to have this sale. This sale is over in 30 minutes. You ain't going to have a chance to talk to him at all. Go ahead and make that decision. Buy that car. Buy that house. Do what you got to do. But when, woman of God, you turn around, you look at that person, you say, listen, I need to converse with my husband so we can be on one accord so that it can be blessed. I can be under the covering of authority. He can make the decision. It could be in order. You know what I'm saying? And everything going to be blessed. When you have, hey, God, male headship in your home, you're going against the grain. Yeah. Marriage, male headship. But let me listen. Listen. When your children don't run your house, you're going against the grain. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You're going against the grain. Hey, God, come on now. We passed by one of the members of Philly House. Hallelujah, we were chilling with him. She had her belt across her shoulder, baby. She had her belt across her shoulder. She answered the door like that. You know what I'm saying? I said, ooh, boy, it's rough up in there. But you know what that means? That means that the children don't run the house, baby. That means the children don't run the house. You don't run nothing up in here. You got some houses, the children decide when they eat, when they sleep, when they take a bath. Them children be up all hour of the night. I call, they answer the phone. Hello? Boy, you ain't sleeping? Let me talk to your dad. Let me go wake him up. Wait. You done put them to bed? For us Christians, you know, mama and daddy take the head, take the lead. Daddy the head, but they're both leaders in the house. They make the decisions for the children. And when you do that, listen, you go against the grain. Because every other house, them children running things. We be out and about, and they look at little Omar, and he pretty tough. He rascal. Y'all pray for him. You know what I'm saying? He going to need to be saved early. You know what I'm saying? So that little fella, man, he rowdy. And so people walk up to us, they say, oh, he run the house, huh? That's the kind of stuff they say. And just to be cordial, I say, he tried. Because he not really running the house. We decide when he eat, when he sleep, you know. And I got to pray about it. Sometimes I say, boy, you don't breathe. I'm going to decide when you breathe. Breathe. When the parents run the house, you're going against the grain, baby. And the people going to talk about you. Oh, they hard on their kids. They got rules. Yeah, we got rules. Because God got rules. You understand what I'm saying? They can't do anything. You can't stay up all hours of the night. Go to bed. You're tired. Look at y'all. You're tired. Go to bed. Pastor, how you put them to bed? Click, go to bed. Go, you. And like, it's easy, just like that. You see? Let me tell you another area with your kids. Disciplining them. When you discipline your kids, you're going against the world. The world don't discipline the kids no more, man. You know that? I'm not talking about beating them, no. And I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about the biblical passing the rod on your child when they do wrong. Do you see how the world, it's a current, and everything God said do, it say don't do? God says spare the rod, spoil the child. They say put little John in time out. The Bible say make him tap out. Don't put him in time out. Make him tap out. Make him quick. Bible say get that foolishness out of his heart. That's what the Bible said. That's what the Bible said. You know what I'm saying? And so for you to do that is to go against the grain. And people are going to talk about you. I done had family and everybody else. Oh, don't do it. Don't. Come on. Don't worry. Don't do that. That's too rough. Don't. Be quiet. Because when I look at your children, when I look at your child, who in the world are you to tell me how to raise my child? I got the Bible telling me how to raise my child. You look what your child doing to you. And I tell my wife that all the time, man, when we get pressure. Because, listen, we raising our kids the biblical way, yeah. Yes, sir, no, sir, at home, man. You know, I say something, I don't even want to say it too many times. You obey the first time, every time, with a happy heart. You understand what I'm saying? You know? And it's not, no, listen, they're super blessed. Because there's a blessing in obedience. They're super blessed. Listen, it ain't no tyranny, no. They know what mom and dad expect. You see, because we have a standard of living. You see, when y'all don't have a standard of living and you let your kids do it, they don't know what's acceptable and what's not. Kids need structure. They need to know what they can do and what they can't do. And it can't change. That's why it's got to be built on the Bible. Listen, kids love that. That's why you find the parents that's hardest on the kids and tell the kids more. That's the one that they love the most. Oh, God. They want destruction. All right? They want destruction. I tell my wife all the time, I say, listen, man. I say, let them talk. Because my kids ain't going everywhere. They're not doing everything. Let them talk. Time gonna tell. We're gonna watch how this set of kids turn out without God's law. And we're going to watch how this set of kids turn out with God's law. Let them talk. Let them talk. Time going to tell. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory. Let them talk, man. Let them talk. So we need that boldness, not only for the way we live, but we need it for the way we structure our homes. Listen, I'm winding down. Number three, we need that boldness to share the gospel. All right? The Bible says this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I know that some of you in here, amen, you might be new to the faith. And you say, Pastor, share the gospel. I thought that was your job. You know, nah, it's all of our jobs. The Bible says when we get saved, we become fishermen of men. We become ambassadors for Christ. We all got to look for opportunities to bring people to Christ. You see? That's why this campaign is so important. We pass out flyers, we invite people, we try to get them there. We go in the neighborhoods, amen, and we don't be ashamed, you know. We can't be ashamed, you know. Pastor, why we can't be ashamed? Listen, because he wasn't ashamed of us when he was hanging on that cross. You with me so far? He wasn't ashamed of us. I look at my Bible, amen, in 2 Timothy 1:8, just break my heart. The Bible says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And that's telling us don't be ashamed of his story. You know, now in the street, you know, they got real and fake in the street. Now, if a dude ride for you, die for you, and you ain't going to do nothing for him, that's fake, man. You know, that's fake. And we need to bring that same level of living to the church. See, he died for me, man. When I was supposed to die, he pushed me out the way he took the bullet. He pushed me out the way he took the car, the train, the bus, the truck. He died for me. And everything that I have is because of him. My wife, my family, my house, you understand? My cause, my profession, my education, Philadelphia Christian Church. Everything I have is because he died and bled on Calvary. And not just me, no, but everything you have too. That daughter, the place you stay, amen. Everything you have is because of him. The Bible said, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Now listen to me. If somebody going to be that good to you, you going to be ashamed of them? Man, God forbid, man. God forbid, man. We need that boldness, man, to not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Here's the last scripture, then we're going to go. Pastor, you're getting over early. Listen, just call it a flood freebie. Amen? We're going to get out early. I don't expect this every Sunday now. All right? Proverbs 28:1. I love this. The Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursue it, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I love that. You know, when we in sin, amen, there's a fear that attaches to sin. There's a fear. When Adam and Eve was in that garden, amen, they had no fear. Adam was naming the animals. But the moment he sinned against his God, the Bible says he sold himself fig leaves and they went hide. And God came down in the cool of the morning and he said, Adam, where art thou? See? And when he found him, he said, Adam, what's going on? And Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Wickedness brings fear. Brings fear. It brings fear. The Bible tells us the wicked flee when no man pursue it. If you got a problem with fear, it may be because you got a problem with wickedness. You got a problem with sin. It could be because you're not saved yet. You ain't been washed in the blood. You won't come out with us. You won't come to the campaign. You won't try to witness. You won't listen. It might be that fear, man. And it could be you really don't have him. This morning, before we go, we're going to give you an opportunity to make sure that you're saved, man. We're going to open up the altar and pray with you. We don't need your name, your number, no fingerprint, DNA. You ain't got a spit. You ain't got nothing like that. We're going to pray, and that's going to be it. You see, when you get saved, Jesus take your wickedness and put it on himself. Every wrong that you ever did, no matter what it is. Then he take his righteous life of obeying the Father perfectly, and then he give it to you. It's called the divine transaction. You give God something that's worth death, and he give you something that's worth eternal life. That's the cross, man. You see? You say, Pastor, how I get that? Easy. You ask. The Bible said, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I love the whosoever. That means anybody. And God's going to deal with your wickedness. He said, though your sins be red as scarlet, he's going to wash you white as snow. But there are some Christians here. You say, but you still battle with fear. I understand that. And what you need to understand is that fear is a spirit. And you can be saved and still harassed by a spirit. Pastor, how you know that fear is a spirit? For God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's a spirit. And it tries to come upon you. When God needs you to be mighty and do something great, that spirit will try to come upon you to stifle you, to hold you back from possessing what God has for you. It's at that time that you got to know the word of God. You got to put that word on that devil, just like our Lord put that word on that devil. Satan, it is written. And when that devil try to make you afraid, amen, you remind that devil, devil, I'm saved, I'm righteous in Jesus Christ, and I won't be afraid because the righteous are as bold as a lion. As a lion. You ever saw a lion scared of something? Lion ain't scared of nothing. You say, Pastor, but man, we can die for the gospel. And? Don't be afraid of him that can kill just the body and do nothing to the soul. In fact, they can't even kill us. They just transfer us to one life to the other life. They can't kill us. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They can't even kill us. He just was my ride to get there. We're going to open up the altar here in a second. Two groups of people are going to come. People that need to make sure that they're saved this morning. But also Christians. Christians that's not, amen, operating in the boldness to bring people into Christ, to stand up for righteousness, to say no to the current of the world and the streams of Satan. Whether you're young and you're in high school, whether you're in college, hey, whether you're on the job, amen. You know if you're being overrun. This morning, we draw a line in the sand. We tell the devil no more. We're not going to be rude. We're not going to be ugly about it. But we're going to be us in Christ. That's what we're going to be. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! When you hear the music, amen, you can come on down. And we're going to pray. There's going to be some other people coming. Don't worry. Just don't bump into each other. Don't hurt nobody. But when the music starts, come and pray with Pastor. The altar is open. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You know if you need that. You know if you need it. Come on. The altar is for everybody. It's for the believer and the unbeliever. The altar is for everybody. We know. And we say, God, we want to live it for you, God. We don't want to be afraid no more. We don't want to be shy no more. Our people dying and they need us. We know we might not have everything together, but we know the one who can put it together. And it's time for us to open our mouth. It's time for us to live out loud. It's time for us to be bold. We're going to pray here in a second. We're going to ask him to pour down salvation and boldness. And boldness. And boldness. And boldness. And boldness.